WNST, Taps of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. Happy Festivus to everyone celebrating a happy Maryland Crab Cake Tour for our friends at the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. We are ramping up the 2024 Maryland Crab Cake Tour with something called Crab Cake Row. It will begin on February the 5th. Luke Jones thinks he's going to be in Las Vegas rolling the dice and hanging out with the beautiful people and listening to Wayne Newton and doing all that good stuff. Meanwhile, the Ravens will begin the party here this week as Luke will be in Owings Mills all week long. We had lots of guests, lots of celebrities, lots of former Ravens. We're doing everything we did here last week, but we're doing it in anticipation of the Houston Texans coming to town. Luke, I'll be honest with you. Last week we got together, the Browns were favorite. I gave the Steelers a punch, and I think they took one in Buffalo, you know, on Monday night with the game being moved and all that. But the Texans, I would have told you at the beginning of the year, if the Ravens were going to play the Houston Texans in the divisional round after a bye week and have the one seed, I would tell you they better go to the Super Bowl.
Sure. I mean, forget about the Texans, just the Ravens being the number one seed. That doesn't come around that often. I mean, it came around 4 years ago, and we've been talking about that ever since, them not doing it. I mean, that's been such a driving force for conversation, that and Lamar Jackson's contract. I mean, if you want to talk about the things we've talked about most frequently over the last 4 years, it's been that. And the Ravens are back on that stage again, number one seed, best record in the NFL. But it gets real this week. Now, last week was the calm before the storm. The big picture questions, talking about getting some rest, getting some work in. You're preparing for any of four opponents, so you do some preliminary work, but you get to the weekend and you kind of wait, right? So I think the good thing about the way that this played out, even with the postponement up in Buffalo and what that meant, the Ravens got to watch the Texans beat Joe Flacco and the Browns on Saturday afternoon into the evening. And from that moment on, they had a pretty good idea. If you were looking at the odds, that was the team they were most likely going to play based on that. So they went to work on the Texans at that point. So it's not as though they spent the 48 hours leading into the Buffalo game just kind of waiting around. They said, look, we're going to prepare for the Texans. We haven't seen them since week one. If it does happen to be Pittsburgh, if the Steelers do pull off an upset, we just saw them in week 18, and we know the Steelers better than any team, so we can pivot if necessary. So I think that was a good way to approach it. I don't think it was done with any disrespect towards the Steelers. I think it was just looking at it at, hey, you know, we're going to prepare for the best team, the team that we haven't seen in the longest amount of time. And if it ends up being our AFC North rival, then we'll adjust. And it turned out to be the Houston Texans. So, really good story. I mean, you think about where the Texans were a year ago, all the talk leading into the draft, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, and it wasn't a contest. C.J. Stroud had one of the very best rookie seasons in NFL history for a quarterback. So he's playing at a high level. We saw that on Saturday with the way that he absolutely torched the Cleveland defense, but he's been playing at a high level all year. And I was really struck, and you and I talked about this game. We didn't break it down in great detail last week, but we mentioned Browns, Texans.
But those teams had played a couple of weeks ago, too. I sat and watched those teams play without Stroud, right?
Yeah, without Stroud, right. Which, you know, that's like the, you know, any team without their starting quarterback, look at the Ravens against the Steelers in week 18. It's totally different. So, but the thing that really struck me, and this is why I wasn't dismissing Houston's chances whatsoever. I mean, you know, did I give the slight edge to the Browns? Sure. Was I surprised by the fact that the Texans won? No. Surprised by it being a blowout, but the reality is I thought back to week one, and I get it. I mean, the Ravens won pretty handily. It wasn't a dominating effort from start to finish, but they won. It was never in doubt. But I still think back to what John Harbaugh said the day after that game, and full disclosure, we know John's no stranger to complimenting the opposition, even if it ends up being a lopsided affair. But he went out of his way the day after that season opener to say, that Texans team's pretty good. They've got a lot of good young players. And he said, you watch, they're going to win a lot of games this year. And, you know, it was something he volunteered that. You know, that was at the end of a pretty lengthy opening statement on that Monday press conference. And that was something that just stuck with me. And to see Houston do what they did over the course of the season, see CJ Stroud play at such a high level, and to then see him do what he did against the Browns defense on Saturday, I'll say this much. I mean, the Ravens are the favorite. They're a big favorite. They should be. They've earned that. They've played that way over the course of a couple months now to earn that kind of a distinction and that respect. However, this is a Houston team that has an explosive passing game. You better start fast. You don't want to sleepwalk through the first quarter and then you look up and you're down 10-0. Houston is a team that absolutely is playing well. They've played well with CJ Stroud on the field. As you mentioned, yeah, they really struggled without him for those couple games in December when he was out with a concussion. But this is a team that has a lot of talented players. They certainly are improving. They've gotten better over the course of the season. As Jacksonville fell apart, they were the team that, you know, continued to kind of grind away, and they did what they needed to do at the very end of the season to win that division, including going to Indy and winning in the last game of the season. So, you know, I'll say what I would have said whether with any of the teams the Ravens would have been playing divisional round weekend. Got to start fast because this is a team that's been in playoff mode for a few weeks. And if we're going to draw any comparison, even though the style is not anywhere close, but if we're going to draw any comparisons to 4 years ago and the Titans coming into town, that would be it. Houston's been in playoff mode for a few weeks now, knowing that they need to keep winning, whereas the Ravens have been in this downshift mode for a couple weeks now. So you hope, you expect them to start fast, but if they don't, they're going to be in for a dogfight on Saturday because this is a Texans team that definitely has talent.
Well, I don't want to begin the rest versus rust because they rested, and we'll see if they're rusty or not. Same thing with the 49ers when they get going on Saturday night after we're done, and hopefully the season continues on. But you're going to get the hot team now. That's the way this works. We sat around all weekend. We watched six teams win, six teams lose, five teams in blowouts, five pretty bad games for the most part. I mean, the Pittsburgh-Buffalo game didn't really have any promise. It was close-ish, but not close. The other ones were all terrible other than the Matt Stafford game, which was exciting. And it snowed this weekend. It's going to be in the teens at game time at 4:30 on Saturday. I mean, all of these things that you play for home field advantage, you want home field advantage, and then 3 feet of snow comes and the Steelers got to go in and play in the Bills. And the field was pristine, but the stands were a mess. Weather's going to be a factor in anything outdoor. Buffalo's playing at home on Sunday night again. So both of these AFC games are sort of weather factors. Meanwhile, it's 10 below in Detroit and they got a dome and everybody's like, how loud it is in there. Little memo. It's a lot louder when you don't have to wear gloves. I learned that. Chad Steele, but I was a season ticket holder and I went to games in the winter. And the difference between our stadium and other stadiums in the cold is you can only yell when it's 20 degrees. You can't do this. You can't clap. So it won't be as loud. Detroit was apparently like, being on a runway at BWI from the noise and from what fans can do and disrupt. I don't know what to expect on Saturday afternoon with CJ. So I know the Texans aren't going to bring fans. I thought the Browns fans would come in and make the tickets $400. Right now, you know, it's a relatively reasonable price to go to the game. It's $125 online right now. Ticket prices are a little bit depressed. The home field advantage part of where the Ravens are at 20 degrees when Lamar's out there freezing and his breath's coming out, I don't know. I don't feel like it's as much of a home field advantage as maybe I've dreamed it up all of these years to let's get him here. Let's play a championship game here. You'd rather play a championship game here. But the weather's a factor and it was a factor over the weekend. And if you don't think cold's cold, I'll have 60,000 people to go down to the game this weekend. You'll be sitting in the press box. Very comfortable. We're appreciative of that. But everybody else will be cold. And we saw guys get cold over the weekend. That Kansas City game was outrageous. The Buffalo game, they kept saying the answer was like, it's really cold here. It doesn't look cold because you can't see the snow on the field, but it's really cold. I think that affects teams. And that does worry me about Lamar and worry me about the Ravens a little bit because cold, you play different football in cold.
I mean, in the way that you could say it about any team, but look, I mean, we're talking about Houston. It's a dome team. Mm-hmm. It's a team that throws the football. They do not run the ball very well. I mean, they ran it okay against the Browns, but you look at them statistically over the course of the season, they're they're not an accomplished running game. That's why I said the comparisons between them and the Titans from 4 years ago kind of ends with just the fact that they're in playoff mode. It's a way different team. I mean, they're going to try to win it on the back of their quarterback and their defense stopping the run and trying to get after Lamar Jackson in the pocket. So I think the elements, while I agree, or I understand your point in terms of,
I don't think this helps the Ravens. That's my point. My point is 20 degrees and frozen, even with the even if Miami was coming in, I don't know that it doesn't help the better team, bad weather, ever. And we're the way better team. We're 9-point favorite, right? Probably be 10 by the time the game gets going.
I don't know if I agree with that. In the sense of, I'm not saying that the Ravens are better in cold weather, like meaning they're better in cold weather than if it were going to be 65 degrees, but the Ravens are also a team that's shown over and over again they can win playing different styles of games, right? They can rely on their defense. We've seen the games where their running game has taken over. We've seen Lamar throw for 5 touchdowns in games. So I think from that standpoint, it helps them in the sense that you are talking about a dome team in Houston coming in, a Texans offense that relies on the big play in the passing game. So if the wind is a factor, the cold, you know, that's something that's, you know, we saw how Miami fared in Kansas City. Not that it's going to be that cold, because that was just ridiculous.
But I think in the cold, you drop passes and you fumble the ball, and it's harder to manage the football in general.
Can be.
And that, to me, creates, if I were betting on the Ravens, this game's in Tampa and sunshine, 9 points, I'd say they've kicked everybody's ass. Let's get after it. But this, and maybe it turns into 52-14 Ravens because the Texans kicked the ball around 3 times. I don't know. But yeah. I do know the weather is an equalizer for lesser talent. And the Ravens should win this game 9.5 out of 10 times if you're a 10-point favorite at home, right? And I think we all expect them to win. I think we all deep down look at this and say, I'd rather have Houston than Cleveland. I'd rather have Houston than Miami, even a healthy Miami. Certainly would rather have Houston than a healthy Pittsburgh. When I say healthy Pittsburgh, I mean TJ Watt, things they didn't have the other night. You know, be careful what you wish for is all I'm saying. Everyone, this looks like the dream matchup, dude. They got a bye. They got a week off. They're playing a rookie quarterback, a rookie coach, a dome team on a 15-degree day. They better not lose. I just keep going back to they better not lose because this is lined up. Look at Dallas today. Speaking of better not losing, look at what happened to them over the weekend.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, I think you're overrating some of the alternatives here. Pittsburgh stinks. They're not that good. I mean, they just aren't. And they had a nice little story with Mason Rudolph at the end of the year. If people are sitting here relieved that the Ravens are playing the Texans rather than the Steelers, I don't know. You haven't watched the Texans. The Ravens should win this game. There's no question about that. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that sentiment. That said, this is a Houston team. You can talk what you want about rookie quarterback. CJ Stroud didn't play like a rookie quarterback against a Browns defense that some people were saying was the best in the NFL this year. Now, I think you saw
Cleveland was taking the task, wasn't it?
And Cleveland's defense playing on the road. I mean, if you'd kind of looked at the splits, you know, that's why I kind of laughed at people that kept trying to say the Browns defense was better than the Ravens defense, which I didn't think at all.
Why would a team stink on the road on defense? That's crazy to me.
Oh, it's just when you're talking about flawed teams or teams that aren't ready for prime time. I mean, look, the Browns are a good story. I mean, you know, putting aside AFC, you know, AFC North rivalries and the bitterness and disdain and all of that, they were a good story. I mean, Joe Flacco was a great story, but they were still a flawed team down the stretch, and they turned the ball over a lot, even in some of their victories down the stretch. And guess what? They turned the ball over. Joe Flacco threw interceptions. These were returned for touchdowns. But my overall point, getting back to the Texans, is this is a team that, again, don't take them lightly. I'm telling you, I mean, just the way that you just talked about it, they're better than I think they're absolutely a better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. I mean, I just do. But that said, all of that said, acknowledging whoever you want to rank, you know, who would you rather play, Houston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, whatever, the Ravens are better than any of those teams coming in to Baltimore for the divisional round. So, yes, need to start fast, play your brand of football. Doesn't need to be perfect. Just play a good, crisp, limiting the mistakes kind of football. You do that, the Ravens should win. and probably cover, right? I mean, 9, 9.5 points. That's what you're seeing as the early indication. You're right about the weather in the sense of it can become a challenge for you. It can become an obstacle for you if you allow it to be. Now, doesn't mean that it's going to be 50 mile per hour winds or snow. You know, again, as we get closer to Saturday, we'll see a little more defined forecast, but it's supposed to be very cold, as you mentioned. So
I hope Lamar's helmet doesn't crack in half the way my helmet.
Right, right. How crazy was that?
Dude, the best player in the sport had a cracked helmet. They didn't even give him they didn't even put him in the protocol. I've watched this league over the weekend, the way they're measuring things.
Stafford was way worse. Mahomes showed the helmet cracked. I agree with you. If you want to say fine, check him. Sure. He didn't show any sign whatsoever of being concussed. If you watch the replay, though, Matthew Stafford looked like his eyes rolled back in his head.
Sure.
Yeah. But that point aside, you know, going back to what we were talking about here.
Well, when you sit and watch football all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day Monday, watch all these big games with no distraction. There's no red zone. Yeah. You're not getting up to pee during commercial. Because I'm not. I'm sitting here watching the whole thing, listening to the whole thing. Boy, man, the league from a gambling standpoint and getting calls right and – there was a call or two whenever. I mean, Flacco got speared on the ground and a guy spinning around like a whirly bird. They don't get a flag. Meanwhile, Josh Allen can fake going down, break everybody's ankles because they're afraid of hitting him, run for a touchdown, and then they hit him and sort of fall on him, and they're getting 15. Like, officiating sucked this weekend, I thought. I thought it sucked.
It has its issues every week, but five of these games weren't even close. So I just don't want to waste breath talking about officiating.
Understood.
Yeah, but sure. I mean, there's always that. Even more reason, if you're the Ravens, you need to start fast, build a lead. Do not let the game come to those types of calls if you find yourself in a dogfight. But like I said, I mean, this is a Houston team that has been in playoff mode for a few weeks. I think they've got a little bit of that ignorance going to them in the sense of not really knowing that they're a year early here. And I even wrote this last week as I was kind of breaking down, you know, the four possibilities, you know, putting Kansas City and Buffalo aside, knowing that the Ravens couldn't play them in the divisional round. And you kind of looked at it and, you know, Pittsburgh without TJ Watt, Miami, we already saw Miami come into Baltimore. I mean, I vividly remember talking to you that week saying I wasn't convinced that the Dolphins are ready for primetime, and they have since proven that emphatically with their three performances since then. But, you know, Houston was the one team in the sense of, look, I think C.J. Stroud and this Texans team is going to be a major problem for the AFC, you know, moving forward. But my thought was probably a year away from that. But hey, here they are in the divisional round. They're going up against the Ravens. They're a big underdog. You know, there's going to be plenty of motivation on their side, plenty of bulletin board material on their side as far as people counting them out.
They all went through prep for Lamar in week one. So the defensive guys, they've seen it at least. They've at least seen it, right?
They have. But unlike some of these other potential matchups, like Pittsburgh, they had just seen in week 18. I get it. Not all the starters played, but they had seen Mason Rudolph in that offense. You know, they had seen Miami. So, you know, Cleveland, they had seen back in November, even though they hadn't seen Joe Flacco. So, you know, this is a team that's changed a lot. Now, I'll say this with this Houston team, as much as I'm talking them up in terms of not taking them lightly, they've had a lot of injuries. You know, they've just lost Noah Brown, one of their better wide receivers. I mean, they have Nico Collins, who is fantastic, but they have lost some guys at wide receiver. Their offensive line, you know, has dealt with injuries throughout the year. You know, even with some of their guys that have played at a high level on the offensive line, they've, you know, been in and out of the lineup. And on defense, they've had some guys on and off the field. So, you know, they've been through a lot. That's why I think it's impressive that 10-7, winning a playoff game and now going into Baltimore, you know, they're a big underdog, as they should be. You know, the Ravens are a much better team than the Houston Texans, but you have to be a better team than them for 3 hours on Saturday. You know, we saw this. The Ravens were way better than the Titans 4 years ago, but they weren't for 3 hours on that Saturday. And we saw what the aftermath was and the fallout was for the better part of 4 years. So it's a team that's, you know, they've got a rookie head coach in DeMeco Ryans. And like I said, C.J. Stroud, I think if he isn't already, he is rapidly approaching that territory that he's going to be one of those quarterbacks in the AFC that right now, Mahomes, right? And then you have Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson's trying to get, you know, they're trying to get to where Patrick Mahomes has been. But I think CJ Stroud is very quickly going to be in that next tier. I mean, I think he is that good. Anyone who watched him play over the course of the season, you know, even go back to that week one game. I get it. The Texans only scored 9 points, but it's not like CJ Stroud threw three interceptions in that game and was kicking the ball around and looking like a rookie quarterback making
his first NFL
start. I think
you and I, if we go back to the day after, we were impressed by him. We thought he came in here and looked like he might be something, but didn't look like playing the second round of the playoffs. I mean, you would have given me a dollar on that. I mean, I bet they were 400 to one. I bet they were 175 to one to even think about making the playoffs, let alone winning the division.
I mean, the only thing you would say about that division, though, was, okay, Jacksonville, you thought the Jaguars were going to take a step forward, but the rest of that division, you know, I mean, Indianapolis had a rookie quarterback, even though Gardner Minshew ended up, you know, starting most of the year and actually was solid. Tennessee, we saw where they were. I mean, hiring Mike Vrabel, which I'm still floored that's what they decided to do.
Boy, it's been a week for that. We're going to have to do a week of that, right?
Sure,
I'll be doing that with John McClain and a whole bunch of national writers this week. But wow, this whole Dallas, Belichick, New England seat's cold already. It's over with. You know, that happened quick. But these moving chairs and Harbaugh and the Chargers and that's a hell of a backdrop for all. I'd rather be talking about the game this week and what the temperature's going to be like and, you know, how good the tailgate's going to be and all that. But in a lot of other places, the turmoil has taken over. I mean, including places where they won divisions and hosted games this weekend, like Dallas.
Yeah, no question about it. But, you know, with Houston, it was a softer division, you know, as we were just alluding to. And it's a team that's gotten better over the course of the season. And we've seen it. We saw it here in Baltimore, right? I mean, going from the end of the Joe Flacco era where, you know, Joe was banged up, had not been very good his last couple years in Baltimore. There were other issues with the roster that we've talked about at length, and there's no need to rehash today. But we saw drafting a quarterback in the first round, what it can do. I mean, it's, you know, saved John Harbaugh's job and completely transformed the team. They went in a different direction, and all they've done is win in the regular season since then. Now it's about breaking through in January. But with Houston, they were awful last year, really awful. And they draft CJ Stroud, and there was all kinds of debate as far as what kind of upside he had and how good was he and the recent history of Ohio State quarterbacks and all that. And all this kid's done is come in there and made Houston look like a different team. Now, he hasn't done it alone. They've got some other really talented, good players on both sides of the ball, but he looks like he's going to be a franchise quarterback. He looks like he could be a guy that could be a top six, top seven quarterback in the league sooner rather than later. I mean, if he isn't already in that conversation based on the year that he just had. So that's where I keep saying the Ravens need to start fast. The Ravens need to be ready to play. If they are, then I don't have that much concern about them winning this football game. You know, if they come out and start fast and they're up 10-0, you know, 10 minutes into the game, then it's probably a blowout. And CJ Stroud's probably throwing the ball 45 times and will probably throw it to you a couple times. But if you start slow and you're a little slow coming out of your bye week and you're a little, you know, a little sleepy and Houston jumps out to a big lead, you know, jumps out to a lead, you know, Nico Collins catches a 45-yard touchdown or something like that, then, you know, we're talking about a different game then. We're talking about this being uncomfortable, unsettling, if you will. It's exactly what happened in that Titans game 4 years ago. So that's where I just think it's of the utmost importance for the Ravens to start fast in this one. You know, if they do that, I'm not all that terribly concerned whatsoever about Houston. But if they start slow and you allow the Texans to put together an early drive and CJ Stroud to get in a rhythm and you're not getting to him, then, you know, I think it can be a different football game. But all that said, all the different teams left in this tournament, the Ravens are the best team. And for as much as we sit here and, you know, we've been doing this for a couple weeks now, speculating, you know, which teams could give the Ravens the most trouble, it still comes back to all of those teams are hoping to avoid the Ravens as long as they can, or hoping that Houston knocks Buffalo and Kansas City right now. They may not say it. They're both hoping that Houston knocks out the Ravens on Saturday because that makes their path to a Super Bowl that much easier. So, you know, it's just a matter of going out and the Ravens playing their style, playing their game. And, you know, it's going to be cold. To your point, that can be a distraction. That can be a challenge if you allow it to be. But On the flip side, you're playing at home against a young team, a young dome team, a team that likes to throw the football and cannot run the ball very well. And we know that the Ravens' relative weakness has been what? Their run defense. This is a Houston running game that I don't think is going to be able to take advantage of that to the degree that some other teams have at least attempted to. So I think from that standpoint, it's a matchup that no one should be fearing. I'm just laying out the argument for the fact that this is an upstart team, a young team that may not know any better in terms of whether they're supposed to be here or not. It's a really talented quarterback. I'm a big CJ Stroud fan and a big DeMeco Ryans fan. I mean, this is a team that's overachieved to your point. So all that said, the Ravens come out, start fast and play the way that we've seen them play really for about 2 months now, then no, I don't think the Ravens should have too many issues in this football game, but want to see them start fast and not sleepwalk through the first quarter and be in a position where you're down 10-0 or down 13-7 or something like that.
Short week for the Ravens. Saturday, 4:30, four games over the weekend. Texans, Ravens at 4:30. Packers and 49ers on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, they don't play one. They play three. That'll be Tampa and Detroit at three. And the Chiefs and the Bills in the nightcap to hopefully decide who comes to visit for the first AFC championship game. We've done the math in 53 years. Chasing down the Raiders and the Colts of 1971 and Jim O'Brien and Earl Morrill and all of those guys. But it'll be an interesting couple of weeks around here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, Crab Cake Row style. It's a cup of bowl or soup. We're going to be doing it all week long, the week of the 5th. We're going to be kicking things off at Fadley's at Lexington Market on the 5th of February. Then on the 6th, we're going to be at Costas. On the 7th, we're going to be at Coco's, and I'm sporting my Coco's established 1985 gear in Lauraville. Thursday, we're going to be at State Fair. That is the 8th of February. Then on the 9th, on Friday, we'll be at Pappas in Cockeysville. We're going to be broadcasting live all day. So there's 9 to 5 all week long for Super Bowl. What number are we up to? 58? Is 58? Is that right? 58?
Yeah, 59? 58. 58.
I lost track when they threw me out. Luke will be in Owings Mills all week long. He is Luke at WNST.net. And, of course, you can find him out on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. I've been putting all sorts of stuff up. We are celebrating our 25 stories of glory. Luke, like last week, number 13, because he was number 13 as part of our King of Baltimore sports competition. The top 10 countdown begins this week. And we've done some really cool stuff around here, including a little parade at a Super Bowl in New Orleans and Whiskey Joe's and Free the Birds and Nice Guy Awards and all sorts of things we've done around here. We're celebrating our 25 years, all of that brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. And Wendy Bronfine stopped by this week. They have some purple shirts over at Foreign Daughter and some Canna Blitz. So stop over there and say hello to them as well. I am Nestor. We're going to be talking football most of the week here, just so you know, at AM 1570 in anticipation of these four big games and an unprecedented chance to have an AFC championship game at home and to avoid either the Bills or the Chiefs. So it'll be a lot of fun sitting around here on Saturday night if the Ravens have won, wondering whether Taylor Swift's coming to town or Josh Allen's coming to town. But we'll be watching all weekend. Good weekend of football ahead. Stay warm out there, everyone, and go through your pantries and start finding some food and stuff, because we're going to feed some hungry people in February around here at the Maryland Food Bank. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.